regarding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a whole bunch of different doctrines with regards to this particular subject. But among the doctrines, everybody agrees that Jesus Christ is coming back. The question that some people have is when he's coming back and what the position of the church is when he's coming back, the relationship to Israel, etc., etc., etc. In 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be looking there, beginning in chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have three people here beginning the greeting. You have Paul, you have Silvanus, and you have Timotheus. And we know that Timothy was Paul's understudy. And when things got time to switch hands, Timothy was the one who took over for Paul. Again, starting out in verse 2, we have the word we, which ties back to the three individuals named in verse 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. From time to time, when they thought about the people at Thessalonica, they prayed for them. And they remembered without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and of our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. See? So that tells me that the gospel can come to you in just the word. Okay? But that's not the full gospel. The full gospel is word, the full gospel is power, and the full gospel is in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because the gospel in many places just comes in word. But the full gospel, and that's what Paul preached, because if you read in Romans, he says it was the full gospel that got to turn the Gentiles' hearts to Jesus Christ, because when he preached, his word was with power. So there was manifestations going on in these men's lives. These men operated the power of God. And you'll never operate the power of God, never. You'll never operate the power of God unless you engage. Understand? Unless you try. For many years, I prayed about things. But praying about things sometimes don't get things accomplished. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to engage. A lot of times you'll read in the Gospels, Jesus Christ prayed about certain things. But when it came time to engage and to get the job done, Jesus Christ spoke to the problem. He said, come out of her, thou foul and unclean spirit. Understand? That's how he operated the power of God. He didn't pray about it. He didn't pray. He did his praying before time. You know why I know that? Because it says somewhere in the scriptures that he got up a great while before morning, departed into a solitary place, and he did what? He prayed. He prepared himself. Okay? And the man in whom the demon was, he turned and pointed and says, come out of her. Come out of him. He spoke unto the headache, and he said, headache, leave him. leave her. He spoke to the problem. He commanded the problem. He exercised his spiritual authority. That's what he did. He engaged the enemy. He didn't pray when it was time to engage the enemy. Many people sit in the posture of prayer when it's time to engage the enemy. You can pray until you're blue in the face about some things, but sometimes you don't need to pray. What you need to do is you need to speak to the problem. You need to raise out, hold the hand of the person and say, rise up in the name of Jesus Christ. Or you need to say, stretch forth thine hand. See? And unless you open your mouth and speak those words, you will not be able to exercise the spiritual authority and power that God has given you. So you must understand the difference between praying and the difference between ministering, the difference between praying for something and the difference between actively engaging the enemy and commanding a demon to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. See? I guess I've seen spirits get agitated when the word is spoken, and sometimes they just get so nuts they can't stand to hear the word anymore. Certain category of spirits will do this, and they'll just leave. But I always taught you that the problem is not the spirit. The problem is the garbage to which the spirit is attached to. A demon is not there unless it has food that's attracted him there, unless it has a door open. So it's kind of like a spider web. You get up in the morning, you walk downstairs, and you got this thing in your face, and then you know what you do? You go like this. And then the next morning, you get up in the morning, you walk downstairs, and you know what happens? You do the same thing. You know why you do the same thing? Because the spider that's making the web was not dealt with. And you're just cleaning the web, cleaning the web, cleaning the web. What you got to do is you got to kill the spider. You got to get rid of the spider. Once you get rid of the spider, when you get up in the morning and walk downstairs, there's not going to be a web there. See, the web is just the manifestation of the spider. Dealing with the web is not dealing with the cause of the problem. You understand? Dealing with the web is dealing with the manifestation of the cause. And people deal with the manifestation of the cause for a lifetime. They go around putting out fires instead of catching the fire bug and get rid of him. You must deal with the cause. And in dealing with the cause, the cure must correspond to the sickness. You don't give somebody an aspirin if their arm is broke. Now, you may give it to them for the pain, but what they need at that particular time is not an aspirin. You know what they need? They need a splint. They need a doctor. They need to have their arm set. Or if they're bleeding, you don't give somebody an aspirin when their arm is severed. You know what they need? They need a tourniquet. That is the cure for what's going on in their life at that time. That's what's going to help them. Same thing spiritually. Spiritually, you have to give them the cure that's going to deal with the problem. And sometimes praying about something doesn't deal with the problem. Many times I have found in people's lives is that when it comes time to minister to somebody, okay, people wind up praying for them and they don't wind up speaking to the problem and commanding it in the name of Jesus Christ. And many times that prayer is simply a cover for the fear in the individual's life, that nothing will happen, or that what if the person leaves the same way that they came in? Well, look, by whose power and authority are you going to heal the person? The name of Jesus Christ, right? So if you don't have an ego to start with, and you understand that you're just doing what God told you to do, and God gets the glory, then if the person gets healed, what happens? You jump up and down and you say, oh, he got healed. If the person doesn't get healed immediately, what happens? Sometimes the devil comes and tempts us in our minds and says, look, you still have the symptom. So you know what we do? We believe what the words of the devil speak to us. We receive them back into our life. We confess them, and we get cheated out of our healing. That's why the word teaches it in Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Also in other places of the scripture, people were healed and instantaneously they were miraculously healed. But in Mark it says they shall recover. So you have at least two categories of healing. You have one category where it's instantaneous, where it would put it into the category of a miracle. And then you have another category where it's a recovering. It may take a day. It may take a week. It may take X amount of time. You see? But unless you put your hand out, unless you say to the person, stretch forth thine hand, understand? You're never going to see it. Don't go through your life without saying that to somebody. Don't go through your life without commanding the headache to leave. Don't go through your life without commanding the germs to leave, without command them to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to do that. Because if you don't do it, you'll never see the power of God work in your life. Never see it. And that person may not be blessed either because you prayed for them when they didn't need to be prayed for. You know what they needed? They needed to be ministered to. That's what they needed. Yeah, let's look at something in Mark, show you this. Now that you got me off the subject. In the Gospel of Mark, let's look at chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now watch it. And they watched him. They watched Jesus Christ, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Their intention was to catch Jesus healing the man. They knew he could heal the man because he had exhibited the power of God in his life. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to use the word of God against the Son of God. And the word of God somewhere in their perverted minds, you know, you don't do any kind of things on the Sabbath. It's a holy day, etc., etc. That's what they wanted to do. Now look at verse 3. And he saith unto the man which hath the withered hand, stand forth. All right. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is singling out the individual. Now you read this, right? But you don't live it. So for instance, someone in here has got a hand like this, and they come in, and this is the way they are. And now what Jesus did, he said, you stand forth, get up. That's what he said. Now, would you do that? Would you do that? Now some have been taught that, well, I need to have revelation to do it. Because unless I get revelation, nothing's going to happen. That's, and then you go with they call green light revelation. Okay? Now, I'm going to read you something in Mark. Mark chapter 16. Stay in Mark 3. Keep your pigtail there or something. I'm going to show you where if you wait to hear from God to do something that God has already commissioned you to do, that you'll be waiting a lifetime and you'll never see the power of God work in your life. In Mark 16, in verse 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that what? That's what it says, right? And you know what? I studied all the texts with this verse, and that's how it says in all the texts. These signs shall follow them that believe. Signs follow what? Believers. Signs don't necessarily follow ministries or ministers. Signs follow those that believe. That's what signs follow, those that believe. Some of the signs that are going to follow people that believe, just good old ordinary Christians, born again of God's Spirit, in my name shall they cast out what? Devils. That's one of the first signs listed that's going to follow a believer. So it says, in my name they shall cast out devils. That follows a believer. It says they'll speak with new tongues. Okay? All right. If they take up serpents, if they drink anything deadly, it's not going to hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. All right. Now, it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is in the context of a sign that is following. This sign is following a what? What's the scripture say? A what? Just a what? A believer. A sign that follows a believer is that that believer is going to cast out a devil. That believer is going to speak in tongues. If that believer drinks anything deadly, it's not going to hurt him. If that believer lays hands on the sick, it says they shall recover. All right? Now, someone says to me, you need revelation from God to cast out a devil. That's what someone says to me. And I say to them, because they say to me, you know, in my name they shall cast out devils. They say to me, you need revelation from God. You need green light to cast out a devil. That's what they say to me. That's not what the verse says. That's what they say. And in the same verse, okay, if you're going to tell me that, then we got to be logical and we got to be constant, because the rest of the verse says, they shall speak with new tongues. Okay? So if you're going to tell me I need revelation to cast a demon out of a person, I'm going to tell you that the same verse says you need revelation to speak with new tongues, because it's in the same verse. Don't pick the front of the verse and tell me about that and leave the back of the verse out. Now, do you need revelation to speak in tongues? Do you? Why? You know why? Because it's what? Available. And if you believe and you're instructed, you can walk into the what? Manifestation of speaking in tongues. See how simple that is? That's how simple it is. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you, it works the same way with devil spirits. See, God's word says the sign that's going to follow a believer is that I'm going to be able to cast out a demon. Doesn't say that I need to have revelation from him to do it. It says that I'm a believer. And when I believe, I can cast out a demon when I engage it. When I believe, I can speak in tongues when available, when it came available. You know why? Not because I need revelation from him. Because he's already told me I can do it. He said, who can do it? Believers do it. You know what else he said? He said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall what? Recover. Does it say you need revelation to lay hands on the sick? He said, no. He's already said that a sign that's going to follow someone who believes is that you're going to see this person who believes lay hands on the sick, minister to that individual, and that individual is going to recover. Now I'm going to tell you how I work. I work by red light revelation. That's what I work by. Just the opposite. Because I've already, see, the church has been waiting for God to give them some special push to do something when he's already over 2,000 years ago said that if you believe, you can do this. But the church somehow has been waiting for God to whisper, go pray for that person, minister healing to that person, cast that demon out of that person, speak in tongues in a meeting. Don't speak in tongues unless you hear from me. How silly is that? The church has been waiting for God to tell them to do something when God has already commissioned the church to do so and act in the commission. See, it's not simply waiting to hear from God to act on what you think God wants you to do. It's a matter of walking in the power of God, exercising your spiritual power and authority that you already have, and seeing God work in the manifestation. You understand? Now, when I say red light revelation, this is what I mean. Unless God tells me not to pray or minister to you or cast the demon out of you, I go at it. You know why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? That's what it says. Now, doctor used to teach us, he says, it's not bragging if you say you can jump over the barn and you can actually jump over the barn. But he says, when you say you can jump over the barn and you can't jump over the barn, that's bragging. Okay? So let me give you some real life illustrations. Instead of just telling you that, oh, this is what the word says and this is what, let me tell you what happens. One time I met a demon, spoke to me out of the person's mouth, said, I am Leviathan. That's what the demon said to me. I am Leviathan. Like that it spoke. Right? It was myself and my wife ministering to an individual. I didn't ask God. God, do I have revelation? Do I have your permission to cast Leviathan out of this individual? And it was like this, contorting and stuff. I didn't do that. I didn't wait for revelation. You know why? Because I already know that I've been endued with power. I already know I have spiritual authority and I have spiritual power. Okay? I know that the scripture says that if no scorpion, nothing's going to hurt me because I have more power than all the power of the adversary. You know that verse in Luke 10? That's where it's at. One believer's got more power and authority. Nothing by any means will hurt you. So I already know that. So I didn't say to God, oh God, do I have revelation? No. You know what I did? I spoke to the demon. And I said, you're coming out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And the demon didn't like that. I said, no, I'm not. I'll kill her first. I said, no, you won't. No, you won't. I said, you're going to listen to me. And I said, you're going to get your scrawny little butt out of her, whether you like it or not, in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 minutes later, you know where the demon was? Not in her. Freed her. She got completely whole, completely healed. Her countenance came back. Demon's gone. Just left. Understand? I didn't have to go to God and say, do I have permission? Do I have power? Do I have authority? Okay? If I'm going to give you a gun and you're going to go in the army and I say, here we go, Elbridge. There's your gun. You've been trained. You've been commissioned. You got a weapon. There's the enemy. Go. You come walking along like this and say, oh, a terrorist. Could you just wait a minute? Let me call Nick. Let me call my officer and let me see if I have the power and authority to engage you as a hostile. Let me see if I have the power and authority to and this person's coming at you with a gun once he hurts you. How silly is that? If you would call your drill sergeant or if you'd call your master sergeant and say that to them, you know what they would do to you? They pull you out of the field, smack you upside the head, and say, boy, are you out of your mind? You've been trained. You've been equipped. You got a weapon. You've been given directions. Word of reconciliation, ministry. Okay, go to it. You don't need to ask me permission whether you can engage somebody. Now you're hired as a controller of a company. That's your job. You're the controller of the company. You meet with the owner of the company. You meet with the board of trustees. Board of trustees says, okay, this is your job. You have the right to do this, this, and this. Here's the power and authority. Okay? Power and authority. Power is like a policeman's gun. Authority is like his badge. Gives him the right to use that gun. Okay? You go rob somebody, I'm going to guarantee you he ain't going to call into 911 and say, do I have the power and authority to stop this robber? You know what he's going to do? He's going to exercise his authority on the crook. So you're the controller. You met with the board of trustees. You've been given the power, you've been given the authority, you've been given your job, what you can and can't do. All right. You, one of your jobs is that you have the authority to sign the checks to the payroll. So the first week goes by, Friday, 3 o'clock, company shuts down. You got a pack of checks on your desk this high. You know what you're doing? You're running around frantically looking for the phone to call the boss and saying, can I sign these checks? Do I have permission to sign these checks? So the boss, the first time you do that, you know what he might say? Don't you remember our meeting? Don't you remember that I gave you the power and authority to sign these checks to act in my absence? Oh yeah, that's right, okay. Sign the checks, pass out the payroll. Next week goes by, got to stack this high on your desk. Oh, am I allowed to sign these checks? Maybe I should wait for a phone call from the boss and make sure I got the go-ahead to sign these checks. You do that once or twice more, you know what's going to happen to the boss, going to do to you? You're gone. Because in the real world, that's called incompetent. Right? Because someone has given you the power, someone has given you the authority, and someone said, now go do your job. Run this company. Run this company. Okay, that's what happens with God. God says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Doesn't say these signs will follow them that ask for my revelation. Doesn't say that. If it said that, I won't have a problem with that. But that has stopped oodles of people from manifesting the power of God. Because they're waiting for God to tell them something when God's already told them to do it. And don't argue with me about it, because if you're going to argue with me about it, then you got to explain to me the speaking in tongues part in the same verse. Because if you're going to say that about the first part of the verse, I'm going to say it about the second part of the verse. And you can't argue with me. I don't care how smart you are, or how much Greek or Hebrew, or how much anything you know. You can't argue with that, because that's plain common sense. God said, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Believe. Do you believe? Are you a believer? Then if you're a believer, you have the power and authority to cast out a demon. You know, when Jesus sent them out two by two, you know what he said? Preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out what? Demons. That's what he said. He didn't say, check back with me and get permission. He said, you got the power, you got the authority. He sent them out and said, go do your job. Cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. You ever see the game Dungeons and Dragons? Had a couple, drove 18 hours to come get ministered to, me and my wife, sat back right there in that corner. When I got around to ministering to the guy, the demons that demonized him, some of the demons, the last ones to go, were the demons from the game of Dungeons and Dragons. And they named themselves, and he says, I see so-and-so, he's right here. And I said, well, who was so-and-so? Because I never played the game. He says, that's the game. It's such a... And I said, well, did you ever play that? He says, yes, I did. And so I said, that's his name, you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come to attention. Like this. And I said, you got no more rights here? I cut him, beep, beep, beep. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're out of here. Demon left. And the next one named itself. I'm so-and-so. Don't mean much to me. You got a name, I don't care. It's not nearly as powerful as the name of Jesus Christ. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Must have been 12, 15 of them. By the time he got done, the guy was completely whole. It's been like 3 years, maybe 4 years ago. And I've kept in contact with these people. These people were living in squalor. These people were ready for divorce. These people, he didn't have a job. She didn't, it was just a mess. Within 2 weeks, they sold the one place, they moved to a place, he got the best job in the world that he ever wanted, because he wanted to always do this thing. They got the family back together, they got their marriage back together, and they write to me every so often, blah, 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 thank you, whatever, whatever. That's deliverance. That's deliverance. But you see, praying for those people wouldn't have done it, because they've been prayed for by the best. They didn't need prayer. You know what they needed? They needed someone to engage the enemy inside of them and say, you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. That's what they needed. That's the full gospel. That's the gospel that Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus brought to the Thessalonians. See, because our gospel came not in word only. Because anybody can bring you a gospel in word. But the gospel came in what? Power. Power. And in the Holy Ghost. Understand? These signs shall follow them that what? Believe. That's it. So God says, if you're going to be a believer, okay, then this is what's going to follow you. Don't ask me for it. See, when the Holy Spirit came in, it came in with all the manifestations. You understand? You don't have to ask God for this, for that, the other thing. Now, do you have to learn how to operate them? Yes. Yes. But you already have the full package. You already have the entire Christ in you. You have as much as God has ever given in this day and time to the church. The problem is people don't exercise their spiritual authority that they've been given. And one of the ways people don't exercise their spiritual authority is people pray instead of ministering. There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to engage. And engaging is putting your hand on somebody, commanding the demon, commanding the headache, commanding the bone, commanding whatever to heal in the name of Jesus Christ. I had a woman one time, we were in California, Missouri, I'm a liar, went out to teach the word, do a healing conference out there, ministering conference. Ministering to the woman, she started to have a heart attack. I'm with another senior clergy, was a clergy for 10 years, 15 years more than me. He's looking at me, he's going nuts. How would you like to be in that position? Minister to a woman and she starts to have a heart attack. And then, you know, he tells me, well, she has heart problems. Told me that after we start ministering to the person, not before, right? Probably a good thing, because I may not have ministered to her. So you know what I did? I took her hand, spoke to her heart, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to listen to me and obey. Calm down, settle down, get back to your normal rhythm and behave now. And she went like this. Normal. Normal. And we took it easy with her from that point on. I did. But I didn't ask God. I didn't say, God, do I have permission to pray for her heart? You don't have time to do that. You understand? You don't have time to do that. You just got to do it. These signs shall follow them that what? Believe. If you are a believer, okay, then you're going to cast out demons. If you're a believer, you're going to speak with new tongues. If you're a believer, you're going to lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. But I want to tell you something. If you don't go, and you think about this, you take this home with you and think it over hard. If you don't go and place your hands on the sick, how are you ever going to see this promise of God come to pass in your life? Sometimes you can pray for somebody, they get better. I understand that. I'm talking about this specific promise here. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How are you going to see this promise of God come to pass in your life if you never try it. And you know why people never try it? Because they're afraid nothing's going to happen. Whose responsibility is it to heal? Right? It's His responsibility to heal. Whose responsibility is it to impart it to the individual? It's yours. And in this particular promise, how do you impart this kind of healing to an individual? By what? Touching them. By laying. Does that mean that you lay your hands on every individual to get healed? No. No. But this particular verse says if you're going to heal someone, you're going to put your hands on them and you're going to minister to them. And then so you know what you do? You go into the Gospels and you see how Jesus Christ healed. You see how He operated the power of God. Luke 3, look what He did. They watched Him, verse 2, whether He would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him. And He said unto the man which hath the withered hand, stand forth. He said, stand forth. You know what He's doing? He's singling the guy out. You know what else He's doing? He's singling Himself out. Singling Him out. I have taken the trouble to say to more than one person that if you come here and make the trip, I will guarantee you that God will deliver you. I have done that. Now, that's a big promise, but not because of me, because I know I have a big God. And I know that no demon can stand against the name of Jesus Christ, because I've seen too many of them go, and I've seen too many people healed. He said, stand forth. So everybody's looking at Him, and everybody's looking at this other individual. And we all are exhorted to walk in the steps of Christ and Peter, right? Well, I'm showing you some of His steps. Verse 4, and He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or evil, and to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Because He knew what they were thinking, so He figured, let me handle these birds first, so they don't interrupt me when it gets time for me to do what I need to do. And when He looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Show me where Jesus Christ prayed in this record. He didn't. Did He pray? He prayed. Show me where He prayed there. He's not praying. There's a difference. There's a big difference between praying and exercising your God-given spiritual authority. Here, you know what Jesus Christ was doing? He was exercising His God-given authority. He didn't pray. He commanded the man. He said, stretch forth thine hand. Stretch forth thine hand. That's what the guy did. And you know what he did? He stretched forth his hand. I had a demon levitate a person one time in front of me to scare me. Right off the ground, like this. Lift him right off the ground. Because I cast a demon out of him, and another demon knocked him to the ground and then levitated him. Okay? So I said, you think you bother me? I said, I say unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, arise. I put my hand on the forehead, up, came right back, to, just like that. I didn't say, oh God, can I have some revelation here? Do I have, no, I didn't say that. This happened in just, you know, you don't have time to do this, you understand? You're engaged. You're just moving with the Spirit of God. You don't sit there, no. You're on the battlefield. You got your weapons, you've been trained, you know what you got to do. So you know what? You do it. Had I not done that, I would have never seen that miracle. Never seen it. I might tell you that so I can go, oh, Nick's right. No, I'm not telling you for that. I'm telling you because I know this verse experientially. I know it. Some of you have been with me in rooms with dozens of people where I've ministered to people like this. You've seen it. You can experience this, but you'll never experience it if you're just going to sit around and pray. There's a time to pray, but there's a time to engage. And when it's time to engage, don't pray. Do your praying when you need to pray. But when it's time to engage, you're there to fight. You're there to set that captive free. You're there to engage the devil and kick his butt in the name of Jesus Christ. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow believers. Follow believers. So it might do you a good thing in your mind. If you want to work off of some type of formula for revelation, work off the formula that I work off of. Not to make it a doctrine, but I've found it that it helps me much more this way than it does with green light. I work off a red light. Jesus Christ has commissioned you and me to go to the world, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these other things. You've already been commissioned. You've already been empowered. You've been given your walking papers. Go do it. If God says, no, don't do that, then that's red light. Don't do it. But other than that, as far as I'm concerned, everybody's fair game. Everybody's fair game. Because you'll never begin to see it. You'll never see a miracle. You'll never cast a demon out. You'll never see someone healed instantaneously. You won't see it unless you do it. Unless you do it. And so many people are afraid that they're going to fail. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's God's job to get it done, but he needs someone. The Word of God says he has no hands but what? Our hands. And he has no feet but what? Our feet. It's our job to impart it. We've been empowered. If you only knew the amount of power and authority that you have the power and authority to raise the dead. There's another thing. You ever get an opportunity to raise the dead? Get your butt over there, put your stupid hands on them, and command that body to come back to life in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't wait for God to tell you. You ain't going to hurt them. Okay? What's the worst that could happen? They might grab you and say, get away from here. But what if the power of God goes into that man through you, bang, and wakes him up? What's that going to do for you? What's that going to do for him? But, you know, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. If you're going to see it manifest in your life, you got to go out on a limb sometimes. And you know what? After you go out once or twice, it's okay. It's just like diving off a high diving board. You look down and say, ooh, that's scary. And somebody pushes you. That's usually the way it happens with God. It's like sink or swim. But it's a good thing. So what that has to do with the return of Jesus, I don't know. But I'm sure that when he comes back, he'll be very happy to find that people were not taking what he gave them and burying it, and that they were good and faithful servants. Let's close in Luke 10. Talk to you about this verse earlier. I'm going to read it to you now. Verse 1 starts off and he says, points other 70 also, and he sends them forth two by two. And he said unto them, harvest is great, etc. He says, go your way. Don't worry about this. Verse 9, you know what he says? Heal the sick. Say unto you, the kingdom of God has come. They don't want to hear it. That's fine. Wipe off the dust off your feet. Move on. They come back in verse 17 and look at the report they bring. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. You'll never know if a demon is subject unto you unless you use the name of Jesus Christ against it. I've seen demons defy myself and my wife and refuse, I'll never come out, you're a jerk, You don't know what you're talking about. I'm staying here. I own this person, and it ain't going to happen. Talk like they're King Kong Bundy. You got to come out in the name of Jesus. I don't care about Jesus Christ. You're going to tell me nothing. I'm not listening to you. Okay. So you know what? They got a tie there. They got a right to talk that way. So you know what I do? I say, shut up in Jesus' name. Then I talk to the individual. I say, well, what's going on? And I find out the individual is involved in witchcraft, for instance. And I say, have you ever asked God to forgive you of witchcraft? And they say, well, no. I say, well, you need to. And then they say, okay, I'm sorry, I confess it as a sin. And then as they're doing this, the demon's going like this. Uh-oh. Just like that, talking out, uh-oh. And then you see the demon going like this. And then I get the person to come clean, cut the tie spiritually to the demon. I come back to the demon. I say, big mouth, you ready to come out? Okay. Just like that. Not, okay. I said, well, you stay there for a minute. I'm not done with you yet. Yeah. Then I go back. I make sure other things are okay. And then by the time I come back, I'm ready. Can we leave? Can we leave? We're ready to leave now. We're ready to leave. In Jesus' name, get out. See? Joy. Saying, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. I'm going to give unto you. I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions, two emblems that stand for the power of the devil, and over all the power of the enemy. And over all the power of the enemy. Got that? One believer, he's given the power and authority to one believer, and that one believer holds more power and authority than all the power of the devil. The entire army, the entire force of the devil, whatever he can muster up in his entire division, one believer has got more power than all the power of the devil. Not one against one demon or two demons, all the power of the devil. That's what that verse says, and that's the way it reads in the Greek, too. All the power of the devil, I give you authority. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the promise of God. Jesus gave them the power. He said, go out and exercise it. What did they do? They went out and exercised it. They came back with what? Joy. Rejoicing. And he goes and he confirms it. So, in conclusion, next time someone needs you to minister to them, make sure you minister to them. Don't pray for them. Go home and pray for them in your private prayer life, okay? But if they need to be ministered to, speak to the problem, speak to the body, command it in the name of Jesus Christ to come under attention and listen to you, listen to the word that you speak, because the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged what? And it will heal. It will heal. So make sure you understand the difference between the two. And don't wait for God to tell you, because he's already commissioned you. He's already told you. If he tells you not to, then okay. But he's already said, believers will cast out demons. Believers will speak in tongues. Believers will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. That's what believers do. And if you're a believer, that's what you should be doing. That's what Paul, Timotheus, and Silvanus did, because they didn't bring the word to the Thessalonians in word only. They brought it in word and what? Power, and with the Holy Spirit manifestations. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we too can be believers, Father, the way your word teaches, that we can walk out and engage the enemy. And thank you, Father, for energizing us and giving us opportunities to exercise your spiritual power and authority, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.